What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? Happy New Year to you, as it's our first episode of 2025, and it's our start of our ninth season, or ninth full year doing the pod, if you want to put it in those terms. Hard to believe either way, but I hope everybody's having a great start to their 2025. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Josh the J-Man Munt, joining me live from the state of Illinois. J-Man, how's it going? How's the 2025 treating you so far?
So far, so good. Can't really complain. Don't really have anything. Nothing exciting, nothing bad. We got a nice storm last night that wasn't fun to wake up to this morning, but other than that, doing all right.
Sometimes no news is good news.
That is true. Very true.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. NFL regular season in the books for another year. We know some coaches. Today's, you know, the quote-unquote Black Monday of the NFL. So we know some coaches who have been given the axe. Some that, surprisingly, have been given the pass to stay, at least for another year. So we'll look at the jobs open, take some guesses on maybe who could fill those jobs, and then do some predictions for the wild card round. We got college football playoff semifinals going on later this week, and then a bunch of Big Ten hoops to discuss too, as Big Ten play is now ramped up for the rest of the season.
We haven't really talked about college hoops that much. We've been so busy with NFL and college football.
Our time management skills aren't the best sometimes.
That's also the truth. So it'd be nice to talk some college hoops, before we get any further, I do have some birdie bogey for you. It is an NFL question tonight. There are two players in NFL history to record 12 or more sacks in five straight seasons. Who are those two players?
That's a really good question. I'm afraid I'm going to start 2025 off with a bogey, but I'm going to give it my best shot.
When's the last time we've been under par?
I don't know if either one of us ever was last year.
Yeah, unless we got the first one right, we definitely won. Yeah.
I mean, I would have to do a lot of research, and I'm too lazy to do that. But yeah. I'd like to go back and see how many times one of us has got back-to-back birdies in the history of our podcast since we've been doing this.
I would say it's got to be maybe once or twice. I can't imagine anything better than that.
I feel like you might have got on a heater one time. Maybe got three in a row once. Maybe,
and it might have been because your questions were a little too easy. I'm gonna say that the questions were easier than usual, because ever since then, I think we're like, okay, we gotta get hard questions for them.
We gotta trip each other up, and then
we're like good at sports trivia if like we're in like a bar or something.
I like to think so. Yeah. It's embarrassingly bad on here.
On the show, it's just I don't know. The lights are too bright for the team, J-Man.
100% correct. The lights are too bright. I like that.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine. I don't have the read pulled up. I'm officially off of Facebook for a little bit. So 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana, Arlington Public House. Casual atmosphere, good food. I remember a few of the words that were in there, but
Upscale cuisine and cocktails with casual atmosphere. So, since you're off Facebook, let me see if I can pull this up. Let me see if I can share the screen. They had their special over the weekend, looked awesome. Not that it doesn't always, but let me pull this up here. Let's see. Yeah, I got to share my screen here. This is too good not to share.
I'm excited. I'm hungry.
Facebook share.
Oh man,
the fried mac and cheeseburger.
Oh man, that's right up my alley.
So you got beef patty topped with creamy mac and cheese, fried to golden perfection, all nestled in a toasted bun. Cheesy, crispy, and oh so satisfying. Yeah, that looks.
Oh that looks man, awesome. I would mess that up. I tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, even that bun does look good. So, it didn't say so, but it looks like it, or some kind of fancy bun. But that's just a example of what the specials are like at the Arlington Public House on the weekends. So, yeah, you won't be disappointed. won't be disappointed with anything to get there. So, all right, J-Man. Well, why don't we kick off the episode doing our first five of 2025 or first five of 25 bowl predictions for 2025.
All right. I'm glad we're sectioning them off into five, because I think last year we did eight for 3 weeks, and like coming up with eight was tough. So hopefully this will help us out a little bit. But my number one, I didn't even change it from last year. I kept it right where it was. Rory McIlroy will finally win the Masters. This is the year. You know what? I'll even say this. You can book it. You can book it.
Wow, I've never heard that one before.
Rory will win the Masters tournament in April this year.
Book it. Man, one of these years, you got to be right.
Have to be.
It's just wild. It's officially been a decade since he's won a major. It just blows my mind with how good a player he is.
And I've been picking him to win every single major probably for 6 years at least now.
Oh, I think it goes back. I think we started predicting that in 2017. We started predicting majors, so it goes back that far. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris is real. It's kind of turned into a running joke at this point until he wins one. But
you can even get your I'm taking Rory t-shirt on Dan and JmanShowStore.com.
Yes, sir.
I need to start plugging that more this year. We need to get some merch out the door a little bit. My number one was similar to last year. I just added another year to it. And I really do think it's a bold one as of right now. Purdue basketball will three-peat as Big Ten champions.
Interesting. I vehemently disagree.
I figured you would. And no, Illinois is playing as good as anybody right now. So, it's going to take probably some upset wins here or there, and they can't really afford to lose to somebody they're not supposed to lose to. But, hey, until somebody knocks off the champs, I'm going with it.
So. That's fair. Neither one seed will make the Super Bowl this year.
All right.
I do not think the Chiefs are all that great, and I think they get knocked off maybe even in the divisional round, depending on who they play. And then the Lions, I think they're too – I wouldn't say they're too gimmicky, but I think just like last year, Dan Campbell's aggressiveness is going to catch up with him against some better teams. And I'm pretty confident in the Chiefs will not make the Super Bowl this year prediction. The Lions less so. But I just feel like somebody's going to upset them, go in there and upset them.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing totally. I think I would like the upset pick of somebody beating the Lions more if the Lions didn't have home field advantage.
That's fair.
I think they're very difficult to beat at Ford Field. I was telling my wife last night that I thought whoever won that game, of course, being a one seed is kind of dumb now saying that's out loud, had a real good chance to win the NFC because both teams are so good at home.
Right.
I said the loser, and I'm not trying to show my cards yet because we'll do predictions later, but I said the loser might have a real tough time beating the Rams at LA.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, obviously the Chiefs are nearly unbeatable at home, but they have they're not completely invincible this year as they have been.
Right.
I mean, you look at their I know point differential is kind of a stupid metric, but you look at it and yesterday skewed it a little bit, definitely.
Sure.
But coming into yesterday, the Broncos had a plus 40 point differential better than what the Chiefs had, and they were the one seed. So
Yep.
The Chiefs kind of skated by, gotten real lucky a lot of times. And, you know, that voodoo magic they got going on, it's going to run out eventually. And I think this is the year it does.
Well, and I feel like not enough people are talking about the fact now that resting most of their starters yesterday and having a bye week now this week, their starters are going to go like 20 some days without playing a live snap in a game. So,
yeah, could absolutely catch up. I mean, we've seen it catch up with teams in the past. Sure. I mean, you can even point to the college football playoff this year, how rusty Oregon looked, for one. Georgia didn't look good either. So, you never know. Now, at the same time, I mean, the Chiefs have been in this position about every single year, it seems like, where they get the bye and they already have it. Last year was a little different, but I think resting your players definitely makes sense to keep them healthy, but at the same time, you got to kind of think, okay, we, need to have them play some meaningful football, which they really hadn't in a while because they had such a big lead for the one seed. And obviously they locked it up a few weeks ago. But so it'll be interesting. They are the Chiefs. They are a scary dynasty, I'll call them at this point. But I just feel like something's off this year with them.
Yep, that's a good one, though. I like it. My number two, Purdue will be the only team from the state of Indiana to make the NCAA tournament.
That's pretty bold, too.
It is.
But at the same time, I think they're the only one projected in the field right now anyway. So
yeah, it wouldn't shock me, of course, to see Indiana get in.
They had
a good win yesterday on the road at Penn State. Notre Dame's not going to make it. Butler's definitely not going to make it. Butler needs to go back to the Horizon League. I'm halfway joking about that.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the other schools wins their conference tournament and makes it. But I don't think any of them are strong this year. I could be wrong.
No. I know Indiana State, they lost their coach and then lost their best player, Avila. They're okay, but they're still kind of down. I haven't heard anything about Evansville or PFW or any of those schools this year.
Ball State or Valpo, none.
Valpo, I think, won six games last year, and they're better this year, but – I follow him a little bit just because Roger Powell's their head coach. But
what's their nickname now? It's not the Crusaders.
I couldn't tell you.
It's the gosh darn it. It's on the tip of my tongue. But well, you can go ahead with your third, and I'll look it up. The Beacons.
That's right. Yeah. My third one I also had on my list, I believe, last year. But the Buffalo Bills will win their first Super Bowl. It pains me to say. I just feel like their time's coming. And unfortunately, I think it's this year that it's going to happen. Maybe Baltimore can get there because Lamar needs one for sure at this point, because I think he'll win another MVP. But, yeah.
Well, I think both quarterbacks need one, Lamar and Josh.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was talking to my dad today after work, and I'm like, you know, if Denver goes in there and beats them, I think the heat will definitely be on McDermott, but I think it should definitely be on Josh Allen as well.
Sure. My number three, Zach Edey, will win the NBA Rookie of the Year.
That's a good one. Who else would be top rookies? I know it was a down class, and none of those guys are really doing anything besides Edey.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I've only been keeping up with Zach, and he's been producing pretty well, so that's why I say that. I'm not sure who's even up in contention for it besides him. Maybe it's not too bold, but he's got to stay healthy, of course.
Yeah. My fourth one here, the Cubs will win the NL Central. I flipped it from last year.
I like it. Got a positive J-Man, 25-25. Look at this.
As of right now, on paper, they're the best team, but that doesn't mean anything. On paper, they were probably the best team last year.
Yeah, the Brewers weren't going in on paper close to the best team. And
Brewers have lost a lot, too, and hopefully that'll catch up with them eventually, but that they just have some sort of magic down there, too. But if not, the
playoffs.
They're probably, yeah. If not, I think you got to – You have to fire Jed. You just have to.
Yeah. My number four, another basketball related one, but my last basketball related one for tonight. I was trying to go 5 for 5 with basketball and couldn't come up with a fifth. I did come up with a fourth. The Oklahoma City Thunder will win the NBA championship.
I almost put that as one of my bold predictions this week, and I'm glad I did.
Darn good.
They are very good. It'd be interesting to see. Of course, we don't really follow the NBA that much, but they're good, and Cleveland's good. It'd be interesting to see what their ratings would be like if it's Cleveland Cavs versus Oklahoma.
Not good. Not good. It's not LeBron against Durant.
No. Yeah. The NBA already are struggling with ratings.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how the NBA tries to collude against – you know, the non-big markets. They'll probably somehow find the Lakers in there against the Celtics or Knicks in there against whoever. So
Knicks are the 3 seed as of right now in the East. The Lakers are the 6th seed in the West. I was shocked to see the Rockets as a 2 seed in the West right now.
They're good, and then they're young, too.
Yeah.
And they made some good free agent moves a few years ago, signing Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks as well. That's kind of helped switch the culture down there because it was a lot of super young guys, and they were just like throwing lobs to each other and doing some dumb stuff. Now you got some actual winners in there now. So
they've definitely, that fan base has taken their lumps through the past decade.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you had the good teams with Harden and Chris Paul, and those ended up being a disaster. And
before that, you had Yao and Tracy McGrady, but
yeah.
You never really couldn't get over the hump. So
yeah. My last one here is very bold. The University of Illinois football team will make the college football playoff next year.
Wow. And J-Man's off back on the bandwagon, everybody.
I am keeping them at an arm's length. I liked my fandom this year where I didn't really get too into it, but return 18 starters. They have gotten about every single player has announced they're coming back, including all five offensive linemen. You lose two wide receivers. So 18 of your 22 starters.
Get your QB back.
Get your quarterback back, who had a really good year this year.
And go and get a pretty serviceable backup.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Ethan Hampton. Yeah, that was the one question mark this year, is if Altmaier gets hurt, which he had an injury the previous year. But now they have a guy that can at least, you know, maybe not fall off too hard when your backup comes in. But the schedule is favorable as well. Their big non-con game is at Duke. And then their two biggest, I would say, toughest conference games are at Indiana and Ohio State at home. Other than that, though, it's a pretty easy schedule on paper. Yep. Again, who knows how teams will be next year. But
right,
it sets up to at least win 10 games back-to-back years, which is unheard of. Winning 10 games once at Illinois is unheard of. So
yeah, if they do that, Illinois might have to back up the Brinks trucks to keep Bielema from a big program.
Yeah, Iowa fans are already saying he's theirs once Ferentz retires.
Oh, boy. Didn't he put that together?
Yeah, that's where Bielema went. He has a tattoo of Iowa, I think, on his calf or something.
Could be on his butt. But
yeah, it could be. But he seems to be pretty happy there. Obviously, he's their best coach they've had this century easily. Yeah.
Yeah. No, what he did this year was very impressive. Win 10 games.
Yeah.
Beat a good SEC team in a bowl game. That was impressive.
And yeah, South Carolina fans are kind of public enemy number one, because they have they've been all over Illinois for playing within the rules with the whole so what happened was, South Carolina runs guys on real late on offense to get, you know, an advantage. So what Illinois does, okay, we're going to take our time and bring players on as well. And they had to take multiple timeouts because they were going to get delay games. They got a delay game. And South Carolina fans said it was Bush League when they were doing the exact same thing to try to get an edge. So then Bielema hits them back trying to get an edge as well, and they didn't like it. So I don't know where South Carolina fans have this heightened sense of worth. I don't get where that came from, because they've been trash for a long time now. So yeah, anyway.
Yep. That's a good one. My fifth final one's golf related. The PGA Tour and LIV will come to a full agreement / partnership.
There you go.
They're getting close. I don't even know. I don't know what's really holding everything up. They're getting really close. It seems like it's inevitable. It's just a matter of when, not if. So I think it happens sometime this year.
I wonder how that will look.
I don't know. It's going to be strange. And, you know, what do you do about the guys who left and took the big paydays? I mean, are mm-hmm. they just going to be welcomed back with open arms? It's interesting. There's things I like about LIV Tour and things I don't like. And same thing with PGA Tour. So if they could find a way to mix all the good things into one, it'd be great for the fans, because the fans are the ones ultimately who are losing out the most. This because,
for sure,
you know, especially the casual fans who just like to watch the four big majors of the year, and you're not getting all the best players in the world anymore. So,
yeah,
but we'll see. As of right now, they're still separate going forward with their schedules and everything, which I'm hoping to get to a LIV event. Indiana hosts one in August outside of Indianapolis this year, down in, I think it's the Westfield area. I believe so. Yeah.
I remember Bolingbrook hosted one back in September, I believe, which is just 12 miles.
They do again this year, I think.
It is the number one, I believe it's a public course too. It's the number one public course in Illinois, supposedly. I've never been out there, but
I've heard they're really fun events to go through, a lot different than the PGA Tour events from a couple of people I've talked to that have been to them. So yeah, cool. But good five, good start. Good start to the list.
And I got to come up with 20 more somehow.
I know. And I'm going to try to mix in a couple of all different sports. So
You don't have any Olympics this year to fall back on either.
No, I don't have that layup. Don't have a Caitlin Clark getting drafted number one either. So, no, good stuff. But Do you want to get educated, J-Man?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Let's learn about some sporting events that have happened on January 6th. Let's see. On this day, 1942, MLB pitcher Bob Feller reported for duty after enlisting in the U.S. Navy.
Yeah, multiple players. Ted Williams probably the most famously missed, you know, 4 years fighting overseas in World War II, and then he comes back and hits like 360 or something stupid his first year back after not seeing live pitching in 4 years. Pretty incredible.
On this day, 1951, the Indianapolis Olympians beat the Rochester Royals 75-73 in the NBA record 6 overtimes. It's also the longest game in NBA history.
75-73. I guess they're on the three-point line.
No three-point line. So
still, that's rough. That is brutal.
On this day, 1976, Ted Turner purchased the Atlanta Braves for a reported $12 million.
Yeah, I'm sure they're worth much closer to $12 billion. Well, they're probably not closer to $12 billion than they are $12 million, but definitely over a billion.
Let's see. Atlanta Braves value. Let me see if $2.8 billion.
Yeah, I figured it was probably close to three.
Yep. Yep. So, and Ted Turner's got lots of money.
Yes.
On this day in 1980, the Pittsburgh Steelers won the AFC Championship by beating the Houston Oilers 27-13. And also on this day in 1980, the LA Rams beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 9-0. I did not know the Buccaneers ever made an NFC Championship before the 90s.
Yeah.
I thought they were always trash. On this day in 1985, the Miami Dolphins beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 45-28 to win the AFC. And also on this day, the San Francisco 49ers beat the Bears 23-0 to win the NFC.
Yeah. Oh, the Dolphins will be back. They weren't.
That was, of course, the year before the Bears Super Bowl victory.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see here. Here's an interesting one. On this day, 1991, the Portland Trail Blazers beat my Seattle Supersonics 114-111 before a sellout crowd at the Portland Memorial Coliseum, marking the Blazers' 600th consecutive sellout at home.
Dang.
I'm sure that's been long broken, but that's pretty impressive back in the day. On this day, 1994, U.S. figure skating champion Nancy Kerrigan was attacked by Tonya Harding's bodyguard at the U.S. Championships in Detroit.
Hmm.
On this day, 1995, Atlanta Hawks coach Lenny Wilkins passed the legendary Red Archibald to become the NBA's all-time winningest coach with 939 career victories. On this day, 1999, an agreement is reached by the NBA and the Players Union to end a 204-day lockout, which shortened the season by 50 games.
I don't remember that at all. I remember the one in 2011.
That was the first NBA finals I ever remember watching that season. Can you tell me who was in the finals that year?
99?
Yeah, so it was 98-99 season. Or well, just the 99
season. Just
99
season. I would assume the Lakers?
The next Spurs. Year was the Lakers start. Spurs were one team.
I couldn't tell you who the East team was, though.
Spurs beat the Knicks.
Don't remember that at all.
Yep. I don't know why. I remember being in one of my friends' basements while one of the games was going on and we were watching it. That was the first memory of the finals. Then the next year was the Pacers, Lakers, and then I remember all the rest. Decently going forward. On this day in 2013, the NHL reached an agreement to end a 113-day lockout. So this is the day to end lockouts, I guess.
Going back to the NBA, the 2011 one, I think that was a perfect amount of games. 66 games, I think, yes. They played. I think you'd have less load management, which I know is a thing that makes a lot of people, fans, mad. Yep. You spend a ton. And for one, they're pricing the average fan out of going to an NBA game. You're spending
Oh my gosh.
Hundreds of bucks to go see it. I mean, I remember last year, last February, I went and saw the Bulls and Kings on a Saturday night. And we sat three rows from the top, and it was like $98 a piece. That is just not feasible.
No, it's crazy.
To keep fans, for one.
It's crazy. You got 41 home games.
Yeah.
Mark it down. Yeah. I mean, NFL prices are crazy, but in a way, I can also almost understand that because you get
eight or nine.
Yeah. So. On this day, 2014, the 16th BCS National Championship game was played in Pasadena, California, in the Rose Bowl. Who was that game played between?
2014?
Yes, sir.
Was that Florida State over, they beat Oregon?
Nope.
Florida State beat, who did Florida State beat? Who did Florida State beat? Who did Florida State?
34-31.
Remember, it was a good Auburn.
Auburn. There you go.
Yeah.
Good memory.
I got there.
On this day in 2015, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, and Craig Biggio were all inducted in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
That was a good class. That was kind of the first class I remember, like, oh, man, these players that I grew up watching are now making the Hall of Fame sort of deal. Yeah.
Yep. Two more here, both on this day in 2018. On stage 2018, John Gruden returned to the NFL as the Oakland Raiders head coach after nearly a decade of broadcasting Monday Night Football. He has since then been out of the league, but there's rumors swirling that teams are interested in Chucky again. I think it's a matter of if, not when. I'm not saying it's this cycle. I think we do see him back on the NFL sidelines once again eventually.
Yeah, I think it'd be a terrible decision. He loves football, but I just don't – he hasn't done anything.
It wouldn't shock me if it's if come 2026, if he's the Oakland Raiders head coach for a third time.
That'd be absolutely beautiful to see.
Yeah, it just wouldn't shock. It just wouldn't shock me. Yeah. They love him. He loves them. It's really odd.
So. It is. Yeah.
And also on this thing, 2018, Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota scored a touchdown off his own pass in a 22-21 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs, second NFL quarterback to do so.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a playoff game too, right?
Yeah, in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's going to do it for the first On This Day segment of 2025, which we're excited that it's going to be brought to you by, like it was in 2024 and 2023, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana Grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. Next holiday we have coming up for those who celebrate Valentine's Day. So, or I guess big national holiday where people get gifts, I should say. There's other holidays.
Yeah.
Maybe a wooden sign is the perfect gift for your loved one. Yeah. I'm not sure. You're special someone. If not, maybe you got birthdays coming up. It's never too early to get order in for Mother's Day, for Father's Day, Christmas, even though we're only in January. Never too early to get started.
So. I was going to say, I might need to start this early.
Now.
Yeah, I might need to start now because one of my wife's gifts got here December 28th, the 27th.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah.
It was Amazon's fault, let's be honest. But speaking of birthdays, it is my wife's birthday on Wednesday. So happy birthday.
Happy early birthday.
She is significantly older than me. So
those you get those AARP mailers too? Like my house?
Definitely. And she's getting pretty close. She's infringing those class of 09 women as we decided to marry.
They're lucky we neither of them watch or listen to this show.
So. Yeah, very lucky.
Thanks for the support, wives. let's talk some college hoops. I mean, we'll be sure to get to the NFL and college football as well, but I want to make sure we get a decent amount of college hoops talk in here that now that Big Ten season has re-upped, I guess. I don't know what word I'm looking for.
I still view this as the start of it.
I do too.
I feel like those two games in December are just kind of a appetizer. But this
even is, though both of our teams took an L on the road in those appetizers, but
yes, they did. But anyway, the real season starts now. the L's we took do not count in my book.
Yep. Erase them.
Yeah, erase them from our memories. But no, it's nice to have, you know, conference against conference opponents. Of course,
yes.
Neither of our team really played cupcakes throughout December, so we're kind of used to high major opponents. It's always nice, even when you're having to play on the road. It's not fun to play on the road in Big Ten play.
No, no matter where you play,
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who it is. Minnesota, Washington, probably the two worst teams in the Big Ten, and both Purdue struggled for about a half the plus a little bit. Then Illinois struggled to close out Washington yesterday, but they did find a way to do it.
That seems like a common theme with this Illinois team. I mean, they're winning more times than not, but they're letting opponents crawl back into these games, which they should just take advantage of.
Yeah, the Northwestern one hurt for sure, up 10 with about 9 minutes left. And then Tennessee, they're up 6 with 13 minutes left. That's a ton of games. Tennessee's number one
country. So.
But they've learned from those as well because they lost both of those. And then they were able to close out Missouri. They were able to close out Washington. Washington, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt coming off. You know, it was at Oregon, score 109 points, hit 16-29 from three. It was the largest margin of victory ever. Any Division I basketball program on the road against a top 10 team, 32 points. First West Coast trip, they looked tired in the second half, which I don't blame them for being tired. And they had some mental lapses there. But they were able to figure it out and find a way to win it. And that's all that matters at this point. Just find a way to win, especially on the road. I couldn't care less if you win by one on the road in the Big Ten. It's still a good win in my book. I think there's still going to be some growing pains. There have been less so far than I was expecting, but I think they will hit a little bit of a wall. Hopefully not this week. I'm nervous about their game on Wednesday against Penn State. It is at home. But you're flying back from a West Coast trip. You'll be jet lagged. Students are not back. I was just about to say, students are not back. So the atmosphere will probably be lesser than it would be if students were there, obviously. Yep. You're coming off a West Coast trip where you go 2-0 and you're up to 13th in the country. You're a top 10 team in the net. Penn State's coming off a loss. They're a team that turns you over a ton, as Purdue saw.
Oh, yeah. Got away from them quick.
Yeah, Penn State couldn't hit the broadside of a barn yesterday. And Illinois has been so good the past 5 years in basketball. They are tied with Purdue for the most wins in Big Ten play over the past five seasons. By the time this game tips off on Wednesday, they will have not beaten Penn State in basketball in 1,042 days.
That's unbelievable. That's mind-blowing stat.
It really is, because you think they haven't lost to Wisconsin once in that time span. They've won in Wisconsin four straight times. They haven't lost to Michigan in that time frame. They're well over 500 against Michigan State. Can't beat Purdue. That's one thing. They haven't lost to Nebraska. Haven't lost to any of these teams. They can, for whatever reason, Underwood cannot beat Penn State. And hopefully this year's a little different. Now, last year they turned it over a bunch and blew a big lead at whatever place they were playing in Pennsylvania, their volleyball gym or whatever. The good thing is with this team, they have two point guards, two ball handlers that hopefully will be able to break through Ace Baldwin's pressure and find a way to win. But both of us feel pretty good about our basketball programs. And I think they are the top two teams in the Big Ten right now. And I think it's a coin flip at this point.
Yeah, I think one team in the Big Ten that has surprised me, and I wish they haven't surprised me, is Michigan State.
They look like a Michigan State team of old.
Yeah, unfortunately. Thanks.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I was really enjoying, and they still might falter a little bit, but I've been really enjoying Michigan State basketball the last 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely.
A good week for Purdue. Like you said, they struggled for a little over a half at Minnesota. I was very frustrated. Halftime of that game, Purdue was up one. They just looked lethargic in the first half. No energy. Letting this team hang around. Like, what is up with this? Like, something's going on with this team. I just can't figure it out. Then the second half, they really got locked in, took care of business. Fletcher Lawyer was awesome that night. So was Braden Smith. Trey Kaufman-Wren did his thing, too. So, you know, the big three. And Matt Painter changed the starting lineup. going into that game. He took Miles Colvin and Camden Heidi out, put freshman CJ Cox and senior Caleb First into the lineup instead. And it seemed to click. Something clicked this past week with that lineup. And then they just smacked Northwestern around yesterday. The final score was actually way closer. Yeah, literally. The final score was way closer than the game actually was.
Yeah.
Purdue shot the ball well. Brayden Smith was awesome yet again. Fletcher Lawyer had a good game. Trey Kaufman ran. Some other guys like Jakari Harris kind of came into his own a little bit. I thought Caleb First had a pretty good week. I mean, he's not going to fill up the stat sheet with points, but he's their best rebounder. And that's the thing they're really struggling at is rebounding the ball. So it was nice to see them take advantage of that yesterday. You know, it was nice to, you know, not let Northwestern kind of get so physical yesterday as they have the past few years. I mean, they've knocked Purdue off 2 years in a row in Evanston and took overtime last year to beat him at Mackey. This was the only time they're going to meet during the season unless they meet up in the Big Ten tournament. Purdue does not have to go to Welsh Ryan this year, thank God. But good week for the Boilers, and it was surprising today. Brayden Smith won his first career Big Ten Player of the Week award. That's kind of hard to believe. He's never won that.
Edie hogged them all last year.
Yes, he did. So he looked like an All-American this past week, which was nice. Interesting week schedule this week at Rutgers Thursday night, which is nerve-wracking. It's not a fun place to play. And now they don't play defense like a Penn State or like a lot of teams that have beaten Purdue, but they got two unbelievable players as freshmen that can light you up. And then they return home for a nooner on Sunday against Nebraska, which students are not quite back. They return to class next Monday. So, but they should take care of that one. So hopefully it's another 2-0 week. Then they got the West Coast swing next week.
Yeah,
with Washington Wednesday night, Oregon Saturday. And then they close out January with three home games in a row, Ohio State, Michigan, Indiana. Hmm. So their schedule is really about to ramp up here in about 2 weeks.
The West Coast swing, that of course students might be back and that might make it different out there. Washington's atmosphere is pretty good. I mean, Illinois took them out early. I mean, they got up 27-10 or something like that. They were up 17. Once Washington started climbing back in, their 28% three-point shooter hit seven of them yesterday. Anyway, it got pretty loud. It's a small arena. I think it holds maybe 9,000-10,000. I think there were 8,500 there yesterday. But at Oregon, again, Illinois took Oregon out of the game early, too. They got up double digits early, and that might have had something to do with it. But it almost felt like a COVID game. It was so quiet in there, which, again, it helps when you're hitting everything, you know, 16-29. And they followed it up against Washington going 5-26 from three. So it was nice to be able to find a way to win when you're not hitting the three ball. But I think it's weird. Of course, sometimes you're used to it at Penn State where the atmosphere is not great. But I think sometimes it can psych a team out, too.
Oh, absolutely.
On the road. Because you're used to playing these incredible atmospheres.
Yep.
And then you go out there and it's really quiet, which it was at Oregon, which was shocking because that was a top 25 matchup. It's still weird having to go out on the West Coast to play a Big Ten game. I don't like it.
Well, and I don't think – I'll be shocked in the next, let's say, 5 years, if any of these new four teams win the Big Ten title in basketball, because I just think they're going to get smacked more times than not on the road. They're not used to these environments, and it's really going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Look what happened to UCLA at Nebraska.
Exactly. Yeah, they couldn't hit anything. They were without one of their best players.
Yeah.
But still.
That was predictable. They were going to get not maybe smacked, but get beat.
And really, you look at the Pac-12, what is the – Arizona is a really good atmosphere, but other than that, Arizona State, I think, is pretty good. But
Stanford has been in the past, but it's been a while.
They haven't been good in a while.
Yeah.
UCLA, USC have never been.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, of course, the Pac-12 isn't really known as a wasn't known as a basketball conference anyway. But I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening when they have to come to Mackey Arena for the first time or the Breslin Center or something like that. So.
Or either Assembly Hall. Yeah. Yep. Indiana, like we mentioned earlier, had a good road win yesterday at Penn State without Malik Renew.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's weird how teams can be without their best player on paper, but the team clicks better. It's really odd. And I thought that's kind of what happened yesterday.
Well, it forced Woody to not play the two big men at the same time, which it was very evident all season that they clicked better when they only had one of them in there. I know you're trying to appease both, so you're having to fight egos and NIL and all of that. Right. They shot the ball better because there was significantly more spacing, because neither of those guys shoot outside of, you know, 10 feet. So the lane wasn't as clogged, which opened up, you know, driving lanes for shooters. Mbako was great yesterday. They found something. It'll be interesting to see if Woody's too stubborn to, he's just going to have to put their egos aside if he wants to keep his job, for one. He should want to keep his job, but yeah, they are a better team when only one of them's in there at any given time, which was the most predictable thing. Anyone could have predicted that.
Yep.
We predicted that.
Yep, they also beat Rutgers early in the week. Rutgers was out without Harper, but they still took care of business.
Harper's questionable tonight, I saw. He's sick. So
yeah. This week they host USC and travel to Iowa for a Saturday night primetime Fox game.
Iowa, fresh off of giving up 116 points to Wisconsin.
Some things never change.
They play zero defense. The thing that is changing, though, is the fact that Wisconsin put up 116. But yeah, Iowa didn't play any defense. I think they just tipped off against somebody tonight at 6 o'clock.
Iowa did not.
Oh, they didn't. They don't play tonight. What was I thinking?
No, Wisconsin's up 10-3 at Rutgers. Ohio State's at Minnesota. Yeah. Iowa play host Nebraska tomorrow.
Okay. Wisconsin's what I was thinking. So,
yep.
But
you got Michigan at UCLA tomorrow night. Wednesday night, USC at Indiana, Penn State at Illinois. Thursday, Purdue at Rutgers, Oregon at Ohio State, Washington at Michigan State. Friday night, Minnesota at Wisconsin, UCLA at Maryland. Saturday, USC at Illinois, Indiana at Iowa. And Sunday, Nebraska at Purdue, Michigan State at Northwestern, Washington at Michigan, and Oregon at Penn State.
Does Minnesota win a conference game?
Yeah, they'll get one eventually.
They should get one. I think they can beat a Washington at home. Or maybe upset somebody, but
they'll upset somebody. It's
hard to go winless for sure.
Yes,
somebody's going to come in have a very off night.
I mean, that awesome Wisconsin team with all those dudes lost at Rutgers.
I remember that. Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
Yeah. So, but outside of Big Ten, I haven't watched hardly any college basketball yet. So
I watched a little bit of the Florida Kentucky game. It was an awesome game. I think the final score was 106-100. Yeah,
Kentucky's pretty darn good.
Kentucky's good. It's interesting that they are winning now that they have a head coach that actually knows how to coach instead of just recruit. So it was a fantastic hire so far. Nothing else has come out about the whole Todd Golden stuff at Florida. I kind of forgot about it. There were allegations against him, and they came in 14-0 to Kentucky, and number 16 in the country, or 13-0. But then, those allegations, they were either false or they're covering them up or waiting for more stuff to come.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about it, to be honest.
I did too. Until I saw him, like, oh man, that's the guy. Yeah. So
yeah.
Other than that, I haven't really followed any, outside of the Big Ten either.
Yeah. There's been no like huge surprise teams or anything or for any, preseason favorites really struggling. I mean, no, I know UConn struggled in November, but they look to be back on track now. So.
Yeah, they had a lucky win yesterday against bad Providence team by 2. But, yeah, it seems like they're back to being what they – maybe not what they were last year, but back to being UConn.
Yeah. So, well, let's stick with college sports, talk about the college football playoff a little bit. We now know the semifinals are set. You got Ohio State and Texas and Notre Dame and Penn State are the last four. And I was thinking about this. Four of the more iconic helmets, I would say, in college football remaining.
Yeah. I mean, you got the burnt orange with Texas. You have the Buckeyes on the helmet. You have the gold, and then you have the white. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, three of them don't even have a logo on it.
Yeah.
Texas is the only one. But I mean, I could probably make a list of 10 iconic helmets, and those four are definitely on that top 10.
Definitely. Ones. Definitely.
Yeah. But Notre Dame, and you predicted it, beating Georgia. I believe you predicted it.
I did.
Yeah, their defense was good. It was real good. Offense was so-so, but it didn't matter when their defense was doing what they did against Georgia. And now they play Penn State. Texas, you can call it luck.
Oh, man.
But when they converted that 4th and 12 or 13 or whatever it was, yeah. All Arizona State had to do was get stopped. When they converted that, I'm like, they're going to win this game. Then the first play in overtime, they score. Then they get to 2. I'm like, yeah, Arizona State's cooked.
Yeah, that was the best game of bowl season, playoff, whatever, regardless of implications. Yeah. You know, obviously it meant a whole lot, but
right.
Yeah, that was a fantastic game. And the college football playoff needed it because there have been a bunch of skunkers throughout that thing. So
yeah, which it'll be interesting to see if they make any changes in the future going mm-hmm. forward, whether it's how they seed teams
or the
home stadium. I don't think they'll get away with that or do away with that, but I think the seeding needs reworked. I still don't understand how Boise State gets a bye. But you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, all four bye teams lost. But I can make the argument only one of those four teams deserved a bye.
Yeah, that was Oregon.
And they got smacked, absolutely clobbered by Arizona, or by Ohio State.
Yeah. I don't want to get into the mind of the NCAA because it's a scary place because they don't know anything that's going on.
Yeah, they stink.
But you have a 2-loss Georgia team with a bye. I don't think Boise deserved a bye, as you said.
Arizona State probably didn't even deserve a – I mean, they won a good conference. But probably didn't.
I probably would have – and maybe the conference played too big of a role in who gets
and Notre Dame can't get a bye.
Notre Dame can't get a bye. I probably would have given Texas the bye over an Arizona State or Boise for sure. Maybe keep Arizona State, kick Boise to whatever, wherever Texas was. But other than that,
I thought Ohio State would beat Oregon. We both predicted that, but I didn't think it was going to be by as much as they did.
Ohio State feels like a team of destiny right now.
They got locked in after that Michigan loss. I think it was I know their fans hate it.
But
I think it was the best thing that could happen to that team.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely Ryan Day is safe for sure now. They win a national title and no one even remembers that Michigan game.
Except Ohio State fans, because they will, because they're weird like that.
They are weird like that. They're like, man, it was a fun season, but man, if we could have just beaten Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. This national title's nice and all, but.
Yeah. We need to beat Michigan.
I believe both games are Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
One Thursday, one Friday.
I'm mistaken. Imagine that. yes, the Thursday game is the Orange Bowl. Notre Dame's 2.5-point favorites against Penn State. Who do you like?
I'm going to pick both at the same time.
All right.
Because this will be the J-Man's Book Your Prediction of the Week.
I had a feeling that was coming.
We're going to see an all Big Ten national title game. Okay. I think Penn State gets it done against Notre Dame. A very close one. Abdul Carter, I believe, is questionable.
Of course, Franklin made it sound like he's going to play, though.
I'm sure he'll play through it. It's nice to see some teams play through injuries, unlike my NFL team. and then I think Ohio State whoops Texas by 2 or more touchdowns.
Yeah, they're 5.5-point favorites in that one.
I think they covered that. So, J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. Book it!
Well, I'm going to agree with you on Ohio State beating Texas. I'm disagreeing. Hope you're right, but I'm disagreeing in this other one. I got Notre Dame beating Penn State and making the national title.
I'll be honest with you. I hate all four teams left.
I'm not a fan of any of them either.
Yeah. I can't even really stomach Penn State all that much. Honestly, the team I would probably choose over all four is probably Ohio State for some reason. I don't like them, but I like them more so than the other three. So
Daryl Love here on Facebook did not like your Penn State over Notre Dame prediction. He's a Golden Domer. So.
I figured I'd get some backlash, and that is very okay with me. I'm very happy I live in a different state at this point.
I think it'll be a good low scoring game, two good defenses. If Franklin gets the win here, I think we have to put to bed the notion that he can't win the big one.
Definitely. Yeah, beating SMU and Boise is one thing. You got to lock in against Notre Dame and get it done if you want that thing to go away.
You know, it'd be fitting for him to somehow win the whole thing.
It absolutely would. And that would get people off his back for 2 years, maybe. maybe. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, you know the Big Ten's loving this, two out of the last 14.
Absolutely loving it.
Theirs. Yeah. The SEC's got one, even though they're the newbies in the conference.
Yeah.
And then you got the independent team.
So. And SEC fans shouldn't really even claim Texas at this point.
SEC fans just need to shut up right now.
Yeah.
The way their team's played in the playoff.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be fun to watch. These playoff games have been not good in the sense of competitive, but I think good for the sport of college football.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, we got about a little less than 9 minutes left. Like we said, NFL week 18 in the books. We won't do winners and losers, but any surprises to you? Any big takeaways? I mean, we saw a lot of games where playoff teams are resting their guys.
Yeah, there was really only implications for like three teams as far as whether they make it or not, and that was the Bengals, Dolphins, Broncos, and obviously the Bengals and Dolphins didn't matter what they did because the Broncos won so big. However, I think this might spark more conversation about the way the NFL seeds with, you know, having Minnesota, who won 14 games, 14 out of 17 of their games they won, now have to go on the road. It puts an emphasis on winning the division, obviously, but when you win 14 games, I mean, come on, you don't need to, or you shouldn't be playing on the road to start.
Right, I agree with that.
The NBA went away with that, with the division stuff, and they just seed them as they, you know, what their record is and all of that, and tiebreakers and whatever. So I think that's one thing that will change come maybe not this year, but or obviously not this year, but not next year. It might be a few years down the road, but I think eventually. I think my biggest takeaway was the New England Patriots winning yesterday and dropping from the first pick to the fourth pick.
I called that one.
And then, and then firing Gerard Mayo right after.
Which you kind of called that.
Yeah, I'd seen it on Twitter that maybe he's not as safe as we think.
They should have done the Vrabel hire last year, and they're going to do it this next year instead. I presume they will. I presume that's the direction.
That's what I'm assuming. It was a disaster in New England, but I think Mayo kind of got a raw deal.
I do too. One year.
That roster was terrible. Just terrible.
Yep. Gronkowski was starting to call out Robert Kraft yesterday in Fox Post game. Then they had to cut the commercial. I really wanted to let him go for another minute because he was gonna give it to him a little bit.
Fox was very strategic in that cut because the NFL doesn't want any sort of ridicule with the owner. So especially an owner that's won a ton of Super Bowls. So that was a bad look on Fox's part, and I'm sure the NFL played a role in that as well.
Well, and that's a guy who's Patriot through and through too, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
The Titans have the number one overall pick now. Gotta think they go quarterback.
Have to.
Now whether that's Shadeir Sanders or Cam Ward, we'll wait and see how that plays out.
I read yesterday on the Twitter that they love Cam Ward.
Right.
Obviously, we got four months.
Yeah.
I could see Tennessee being one of those spots where Shadur doesn't put the hat on, pulls an Eli if he's taken there. So I can't imagine they'll take him.
Daddy says he won't do that, but we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know if Sanders is number one overall worthy anyway, but Tennessee definitely needs a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. 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 Will Levis, not the answer. Mason Rudolph, not the answer. They've been looking for a quarterback for a long, long time.
Long time.
So, but I'm pretty pumped today.
Absolutely.
You see me wearing I got this jersey for Christmas, J-Man. I'm going to try to flash it up here. My first ever offensive lineman jersey.
The Garrett Bowles?
It's Quinn Miners. Oh, the belly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bowles is 72.
72, which would have been a good one at the time, though, when I was laying out what jersey I wanted. He hadn't signed his contract extension, then he did it about a week later. So, Quinn Miners already had. Yeah, I've always kind of wanted an offensive lineman jersey, never got one. Mm. So, I know they beat a bunch of backups yesterday, but I don't care.
I was still
so nervous going into it. I'm like, got to get off to a good start. And they just didn't care business. 38-0. Now they travel to Buffalo. I'm not expecting to win by any means, but I'm just glad to get to the playoffs. It's been 9 long seasons, 14 different starting quarterbacks, 5 head coaches, I think, 2 different owners. It's been a long time coming. So nice to be back in the playoffs. It'll be weird, though, that they're going to be on the opposite side of Von Miller, who last time they made the playoffs, Von was the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah,
during that 2015
season. Hard to believe Von's still hanging around since then, too.
Yeah, and he's still got 3 years left on his deal, I think, in Buffalo, because they overpaid big time for him last offseason. But pumped to be there. And I think the AFC is glad that the Broncos are making it instead of the Bengals, because the Bengals got hot the last 4 to 5 weeks.
They got hot. They did to themselves, though. They played real bad in September counts. Yeah, September counts the same way.
100%. And you got to play defense.
Have to. Yeah, they paid all their dudes on offense because they wanted to keep that together, and they just let guys go on defense, and it showed. And I mean, I'm not sure Coach Lou could have done anything different than what he did, and he got
He'll land on his feet somewhere.
So yeah, that's kind of been the story of the Cincinnati Bengals the past few years. Start terribly, and then they get hot, and it's too little, too late. Yep. So.
We know 5 openings right now in the NFL. You got the Saints and Jets, who have been open for a while, and the Bears as well. They've been open for a while. The Jaguars' job came open today, which was not a surprise, and then the Patriots yesterday. So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
The biggest surprise was Brian Daboll
keeping
his job in New York.
And the GM.
And Joe Shane keeping his job as
well.
What a joke. I know Giant fans are not happy.
Neither are Colts fans today.
Neither are Colts fans. Neither are Dolphins fans at this
point.
Mike McDaniel definitely, I think, should come back. I mean,
he
was dealt a bad hand with injuries and all that. Started 2-6, and then the fact that they were still in it final week of the year says the team didn't quit, and I think he deserves. I think he should give up play calling, though.
But, well, and I think Shane Steichen deserves one more year at the Colts. But
for sure,
the fact that Ursay still believes in Chris Ballard, and we're not even Colts fans, 8 years, no division titles.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He's pretty much the same as Chris Greer. That's the exact same. They've been to the playoffs a few times, but never did anything once you got in there.
And if he doesn't, they get close, and then they blow it at the end of the year against teams they should beat.
Exactly. So, that was surprising. Be interesting to see where like a guy like Ben Johnson ends up, because he's the hottest. He's one of the hottest coordinator names I can remember.
I'm seeing a lot of rumors of Jacksonville.
Yeah. It was shocking Jacksonville did not fire their GM, Trent Baalke.
Khan's not a very good owner. So,
and the crazy thing is the head coach will report directly to Khan and not to the GM. So that's not great there in Jacksonville. The Bears have requested a lot of names to interview.
Oh, the Jets.
As they should. And the Jets have to. I hope Rex Ryan ends up there so bad.
The Jets requested Broncos defense coordinator Vance Joseph. And the – what team was it? Saints requested – he's not a coach, but he's on the Broncos staff, David Shaw.
Oh, interesting.
He's a Stanford coach,
Yeah, forgot about him. He was a hot name there 10
he's
years
like ago. He's like some – I don't even know what his title is. Yeah.
So. The Dolphins DC, Anthony Weaver, was requested for the Bears.
Interesting.
If he gets the job, I think Robert Saleh would be the guy in Miami to be DC.
Oh, okay. He's a good DC.
Yeah, I mean, before he got fired in New York, they had the top – I think they were the second-ranked defense, and after he got fired, they were, like, bottom 10.
Could if that happens, could you see Lou and Marullo going back to Miami?
Probably not. No one's there from when he was there. He might join Dan Campbell's staff because Campbell's the one when he was interim that promoted Lou to D.C.
Yeah.
Or Zach Taylor, because Zach Taylor was on that staff as well. Or Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson was on that staff too. they just had a buffoon as a head coach that year, Joe Philbin, to start. They had a great staff around him, clearly.
Always forget about that guy. Mr. Murphy.
So.
We're running out of time, so let's fly through these predictions real quick. L.A. Chargers at Houston Texans. Chargers, 3-point favorites.
Give me Chargers.
I like the Chargers as well. Steelers at Ravens Saturday night.
Ravens, big.
Yeah, Ravens, 10-point favorites. I like
Steelers. Lost 4 in a row. They are who I thought they were.
Yep. And they're going to be stuck in a weird quarterback scenario.
Definitely.
So.
Yep.
Broncos at Bills.
Give me the Bills. Sorry, T Dog.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I'm hopeful. I'm hoping for the upset. Even
just happy to be here.
That means at Arrowhead the next week, yeah. But I would take that in a heartbeat. But yeah. I'm taking the Bills. I think Josh Allen would be too much for him. Packers at Eagles.
Ooh.
Christian Watson's out. Torn ACL.
Jalen Hurts is still in protocol. Concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Give me the Eagles just because it's at home.
I'm same way. Eagles in a tight one. Commanders at Buccaneers.
Give me Tampa Bay.
Yeah, even though they didn't look very good yesterday. But yeah, yep. And Vikings at Rams on Monday night.
I keep picking against the Vikings, so I'm going to take them, and I know they're going to lose just because
they're 1.5 point favorites on the road. But I'm taking the Rams. I would have taken the Rams over to the Lions even because I feel like whoever lost that game last night is going to be down going into that Monday night game.
It'll be hard to get back up. I'm sure playing on Monday night probably helped give them a few extra days to kind of lick their wounds.
I think the Rams are a sneaky dark horse to win the NFC.
That'd be crazy.
No, something's telling me.
Especially after how they started.
I know.
Birdie bogey time. There are two players in NFL history to record 12 or more sacks in 5 straight seasons. Who are they?
Man, there's so many pass rushers coming to my mind. I'm going to get this wrong. First guy that comes to my mind, Lawrence Taylor.
He is one of them.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I wish he wouldn't have been. Oh, shoot. 12 in 5 straight seasons. Yeah. Jared Allen?
That's a good poll. It's incorrect, though. It is Myles Garrett.
Didn't even come to my mind.
Yeah.
Great question. I knew it wasn't Von Miller because he had a few years in there that he didn't do.
I
knew
thought
it
wasn't Marcus
Ware.
Yeah. So. I thought you might say like Bruce Smith because he has the most.
Yeah,
ever,
I was trying to think of
Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, Lawrence Taylor was the first guy to pop to my mind, but Myles Garrett.
I almost phrased the question. Myles Garrett became the second player ever to do this. Who's
darn
the other guy?
Darn it.
And I'm glad I didn't. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't now.
Start 2025 off with a bogey. Beautiful.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.